Mini episode 198 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
And welcome, folks. Mini episode number 198 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking it down for you. NFL Week 6 picks here. Kyle, a decent week for you last week, a horrible week for me. 4-10 for me.
Oh, boy.
1-2 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. 38-36-3 overall on the season, 7-7-1 on the big three. 4-1 on the lock, so I'm looking pretty good on those. You went 3-2 on your recommended plays last week for a sterling 13-7-1 on the season.
Yes, I think I actually managed to pull out a 7-6 with one pass overall. It's been a good start to the season so far.
Yeah.
But you got to stay away from those road favorites, Ricky. I think that's the difference. Road favorite Ricky. Come on. Sam the Square. Come on.
I knew you were going to be wrapping me on the knuckles for some of these.
But look, you know, it's a good start to the season, but look, we're not here to tout or rest on our laurels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This morning I spent a lot of time. There's a lot of things I'm going to bring up here in the next 45 or so minutes as we break down the Week 6 games. Schedules from here on out, I looked at every team's to gain a perspective where I think they can go. I mean, it's dangerous to do that. Like, oh, Minnesota will definitely win at home over Detroit in week 13. Like,
right.
I mean, you can't bank on things like that. But when you look at the schedule as a whole, you're like, okay, I can maybe see this team trending in this direction.
Sure.
And the other thing is the Vegas power rankings. Taking a look at those, it's always different. It's always interesting, it is different and interesting, I suppose, to see how they differ from your standard power rankings.
Okay.
So we'll be talking about that a lot, too. And then the other thing is sleeper teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain teams that you and I liked at the beginning of the season that aren't looking so hot right now. Thankfully,
yeah.
One of mine is off this week, so we don't have to talk about them. I will have to defend a few others.
Okay.
And then conversely, you have teams like Minnesota and Arizona certainly come to mind. Now, I believe, quickly slide in St. Louis as a free Thursday night selection.
Nice.
Last week,
yes.
I believe, during the program. So I thought the Cardinals would lose, but still they and Minnesota, a couple sleeper teams no one envisioned.
Right.
So back to the drawing board for week 6. This is a very tough slate, I think, compared to the last 3 weeks, which I've pretty much liked a lot the last 3 weeks, I think I said.
Yeah.
But this week, I struggled. I know you did. Said you
mm-hmm.
the same.
Yeah.
I struggled to find three solid recommendations, and in typical me fashion, I'm going exotic on one of them. So
okay.
I only have two sides, and one of them's Thursday. I know we don't even usually talk about the Thursday game very
much. Well, yeah, because it's not in time for the show. Having said that, that's why yours is up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Talk about the Thursday one we put on Twitter.
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans. Same reason I go with basically every home dog
that
I have during the last 5 weeks of this program.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of value with them. Look, we both were dead wrong about the Tennessee-Minnesota game last week.
Yeah.
But 6.5 at home is a different story. This is a desperate team. I think you would agree that going from Locker to Hasselbeck, despite what we saw last week, isn't much of a downgrade.
Should be a short-term upgrade.
Yeah. Now, Tennessee has been – take away that win over Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hideous.
Yeah.
This year. I mean, they have been awful. Other than a very select handful of teams, they've looked as bad as any team out of the 32. As a matter of fact, I referenced the Vegas power rankings at the Open. Vegas has them rated as the 30th team in the league, with only Cleveland and Jacksonville below them.
Okay.
So, but Pittsburgh is a lousy road team. They failed to cover 9 straight times away from home on a natural surface. So
I went back and forth on this one before agreeing with you ultimately on Tennessee, largely because I think, again, there was a lot of early money on Tennessee, a lot of the smarks
six
out
and
there.
Yeah, 6.5 is a lot of points to get at home, as we've seen. I mean,
team
home dogs in that price range,
yeah,
not name the Jacksonville Jaguars have done very well this year. I mean, the Colts last week, to name one.
Yep. So you and I liked Tennessee with the getting the 6.5 at home on Thursday. As far as the Sunday games, we're right into another one of your big plays here.
Yeah.
Natty at the Browns, that's a line that went early. You texted me Sunday night that it went from 3 down to 1. So
almost instantly. Somebody must have unloaded the bank account on the Browns.
Natty laying, they're a short favorite on the road. This is one where it's not a priority play for me. It's not one of my big three, but I agree with you. I'm queasy because on the surface this doesn't make sense because, again, the Browns are still in a ton of disarray, as you and I know from being in the Cleveland market. But, again, they're getting Joe Hayden back. You're going to be theoretically
key.
You can put him on A.J. Green.
Did
That's
not
gonna
have
help.
Him for that Week 2 loss where they lost by a touchdown, which – keep in mind, the difference was that punt return, a very early punt return by the Bengals.
And the Bengals at least made Brandon Weeden look like an NFL quarterback Week 2, which is more than anybody else has been kind enough to do. So I'm gonna join you on the Browns. Not a big three pick for me, as it's a priority play for you.
It's actually my top play this week is the Browns.
Okay.
The Browns, obviously, you know, we talked about it. This line, Ricky, as of this morning, was down to a pick'em in a lot of places.
Whoa.
So when I see that, I mean, Vegas right now is desperate for Bengals money because somebody moved. I mean, like I said, moving from 3 to 1 on a – I can't remember if it was Sunday or Monday night, but regardless, it was very early after the line opened.
Yeah.
When I texted you, I was like, wow, somebody must have listened to the podcast last week when I gave the spoiler alert that the Browns were my big pick this week. Look, I picked against the Bengals last week at home against Miami. The general rule before that game was you play against the Bengals when they play a playoff team and play on them when they play a non-playoff team. Well, the Dolphins broke that string. I just don't think this defense is good. You mentioned how they made Weeden look good back in Week 2, and the Browns have largely been in every game. Last week they lost by 14. It was their biggest defeat of the season, but they actually led the game 14-0.
They did.
So they've been competitive. I actually don't even think the Browns are the worst team in the league anymore.
Okay.
I think Jacksonville is.
All right.
I mean, it might be splitting hairs, but I like the Browns to get their first win of the year. They are the only winless team, and they are so long overdue for a division win. And they're not going to beat either Baltimore or Pittsburgh, so this is it.
For a win, period. 11 straight losses dating back to last year, tied for the longest in franchise history.
Can't lose them all, in my opinion. So I really, really like the Browns this week.
Okay, and I kind of like them. So both of us are in agreement on that play here. The next one we're going to take a look at here, two teams that are really circling the drain at this point in time, Tampa Bay and Kansas City. This is a home game for Tampa.
It's off a bye, I believe, too, right? Yeah, they're off the bye.
Yeah, they're weighing 4, up from 3.5 earlier in the week. Again, this is there's a handful of games. There's one with two teams that are doing much better than this where I'm going to apply the same principle this week. This is just one where, again, all things being equal, I'm going to take the home team in a game like this. I think the way that Kansas City has played this season. Again, they went into New Orleans and did it, but how many efforts do they have like that?
They were losing badly in that game. They're very lucky not to be 0-5.
Yeah. Kansas City's been horrible for a good chunk of this season.
I remind you, I picked this team to win the AFC West.
You did. Yeah.
And we'll get to, I will defend that momentarily.
Thank you for mentioning that. I'm looking at this one here. You know, I see some opportunities in this game for Tampa Bay, and I think it's a chance for Vincent Jackson to get loose and do some things here. I think the Freeman to Jackson battery is going to get her done a little bit, and I like Tampa to cover the 4 at home.
I have picked, I believe, Kansas City every week.
Yep.
Ironically, with the exception of the week they won their game against New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
They did cover last week. Generous 6.5-point number at home against Baltimore. Of course, the big story was the injury to Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
Looks like Brady Quinn is going to get the go here.
Okay.
And he's not good. But I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm sticking with the Chiefs. Of course I am. I'm going to tell you why.
This is a compulsion at this point.
Kansas City has outgained all 5 opponents. There is one reason, and one reason only, that they are 1-4. Turnovers. They have the worst turnover ratio. They've got 13. Cassel alone had 13 turnovers.
Well,
in the first
Jamal
5
Charles,
games.
Who's playing for both of my main fantasy teams, is really getting her done.
Yeah, he's contributed as well.
Yeah.
I know that you can't just stop turnovers or there would be none.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa Bay's not good. I think Kansas City's a better team, and they're getting points. Tampa Bay, I know they're off a bye, which the only thing that kept this from being a priority play for me is that Tampa's off a bye and at home. But I just think Kansas City's a better team. They're going to if you talk about Jamal Charles on your fantasy team, as you know, I have him as well. I think he has a big game this week because the game plan's going to be real conservative. Okay, we're talking about right of Rick Santorum's politics with Brady Quinn under center. And I think the Chiefs pull off the outright upset here.
The only thing about that,
Tampa Bay shouldn't really be favored against anyone.
Tampa Bay giving up 75.5 a game on the ground, though. They've been a tougher team. That's one of the one thing that they've had going for them thus far.
Yeah.
Then again, Baltimore's not real easy to run on either, and look at what Jamal Charles did to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying Kansas City is – I know it's tough, and it's going to sound like I'm just desperate to defend my pick. They're not as bad as they've looked. They really aren't. I mean, they've had three turnovers in every game at least.
Listening to you alibi for the Chiefs, Obama should have you speaking on the economy for him. You could do a very if you could speak up for the Chiefs, then you could speak up for this economy.
Wow. I could have picked Tampa Bay and flip-flop like your boy Mitt Romney. Okay, there we go.
Not my boy, but that's a funny point nonetheless.
Did you see the card, by the way, we have here in the office? I'll have to show you that later.
Oh, okay.
You'll really enjoy that. My parents sent me a Halloween card. With Mitt Romney on the cover.
Oh, that must be pretty funny.
Yes.
And scary.
Yes.
The next
of course
one
the
up
mail came in from the left, as it always does for mom and dad.
Of course. Next one up here, the 1-3 Raiders at 5-0 ATL. This
your
is
boys.
One where Oaktown is getting 9. They've pretty much consistently been getting 9 through the week here.
Yeah.
Three of my four lock wins through the course of the season have been on Atlanta to win and cover. This is just one where I just have a weird feeling on this one. I certainly don't think Oakland's going to win, but what I look at is, and if they can get a decent effort out of McFadden, the one thing about Atlanta, if you're going to look at it, the one soft underbelly, 142.8 yards per game on the ground. And if I was Oakland, that's what I'd be looking to do anyways. Try and disrupt Matt Ryan and the rhythm offense. Try and keep them off the field as much as possible. I see Oaktown trying to pound it for about 35 minutes, and I think I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to cover the 9.
I don't think we're going to agree on a lot of games this week at all. I know I've said that the last 2 weeks, and it turns out we've agreed much more than I thought.
Okay.
By the way, we do this live, man.
Yeah.
Just for all the listeners.
Yeah.
You kind of tell me what, just so I know for order's sake, what three games that you've isolated as your top
three. But spontaneity
three
is the watchword of the show.
Yeah. And I really mean it this week. We're not going to agree, I think, on almost any game from here on out.
Okay.
Including this one, surprisingly.
Really?
I'm going with the favorite.
Okay.
I know Oakland is off a bye, which sort of alleviates the fact that they're on the East Coast. Remember, I talked about this when I played against the Raiders when they were in Miami. I believe it was week 2. Dolphins were one of my big picks that week. Oakland is awful in the Eastern time zone. I mean, beyond reproach. They lose every time by about 20 points. As long as this line stays 9.5 or lower, I definitely recommend Atlanta. If it gets to 10, you know, I don't like betting double-digit favorites. But if you can get this one at 9.5 or lower, and it looks like most shops, as you mentioned, had it at 9,
mm-hmm.
I would take the Falcons. The Raiders are lousy.
They're
early start time, East Coast, no way. And here's the thing, too. Like you mentioned, when I take an underdog, I like to at least have some feeling they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way the Raiders are winning this game.
No. There's
Atlanta moves to 6-0.
Well, we agree on that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to, but I'm looking for the back door to stay open, so to speak.
It will be. I mean, trust me, it won't be the easiest cover of all time.
Next one up here, another very tough one to handicap because of the number, as so many of these ones are this week. 1-3 1-3 Lions at the 3-2 Eagles. As our boy Kenny Albert is going to be on the call for this one here. This is a number that started at 6, Kyle, that's all the way down to 3.5. The money has been flowing completely in the one direction on this one.
Yeah, and for good reason. The Eagles are only 6-14 against the number the last 20 times they've been laying points. They didn't cover once this year as a favorite,
okay.
But it was as a very small favorite against the G-Men on Sunday night. They won by 2, laying 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a very small margin of error there. Normally, I don't like to play with the play going with the flow of money.
Mm-hmm.
But Detroit is off a bye. I know that I've already picked against two teams going off a bye, coming off their bye, those being Oakland and Tampa Bay, that's kind of an overrated tool now. But I'm sticking with the Lions just because I don't think they'll win, but I think this one's close. I just don't like laying points with the Eagles. Andy Reid. He's not terrible because you just don't stay that long at one place and be terrible. I mean, he's not like in that Dave Shula, Rich Coat type category by any means. But he's kind of bad sometimes. Sometimes when I watch the Eagles, I just want to scream at Andy Reid.
Andy Reid is a creature of acronyms. He's a member of the LDS church, but he coaches like he's on LSD.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's like you have LeSean McCoy. You don't run the ball.
Yeah.
They turn it over so much. I don't like – speaking of coaches I don't like, Jim Schwartz. I don't care for him at all. Vegas still likes the Eagles, coincidentally. I like to bring this up. I talk about the Vegas power rankings.
Uh-huh.
The Eagles are tied for eighth in the Vegas power rankings alongside a 4-1 Chicago team. Well, that just is a reflection of, you know, not living up to expectations. I mean, that's the thing Vegas does. They'll inflate teams sometimes like the Cowboys. But, you know, when you look at Detroit, they're all the way down. Well, they're at 12, which isn't terrible. But everyone was big on the Saints. As you know, we were as that team that would be hit by regression.
Right.
But I think the Lions have been worse than the Saints.
Right.
This year. I know the Saints were 0-4. The Lions are very lucky not to be 0-4 right now because they stole one in week one at home against St. Louis. The Lions are very fortunate not to be 0-4. But I think they'll get the cover here. They won't win.
Well, my sense is, and again, in looking at this, and I've been saying all year how horrible the Eagles are relative to their record.
Well, only 3-2, their record.
They're the worst 3-2 team in NFL history, bar none. I say that without fear of hyperbole. And the Lions, on the other hand, a legitimate 1-3. Not looking good at all. I think the Lions are in substantially more disarray. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Wow, we aren't going to agree on anything.
Yeah, I just, to me, Detroit is just such a hot mess right now. I don't think.
Taking a look at the schedule, hold on one second here, Ricky, if you'll bear with me.
Yeah, well.
I wanted to take a look at the Lions'
schedule.
They got
Chicago, Seattle. Now, Seattle at home, at Jacksonville. At Minnesota, once Minnesota probably starts to cool off a little bit. After the Chicago game, the Lions have opportunity.
Yeah, but, I mean, at Philly and at Chicago, this team could easily be 1-5.
And
Detroit.
I think they will be.
I mean, you know, going to Chicago for a Monday night game next week.
It'll be one of those things where, yeah, they'll be better, but is it going to matter by that point in time? There's any number of teams that are digging that kind of hole for one another. So, yeah, this is another one where we disagree this week. As we may perhaps on the next one, this is one that I had alluded to you off air.
I have a feeling I know what game we're going
to. Two teams really ahead of schedule, I think a lot of people would say, largely because of how their defenses have played. It's the 3-2 Rams at the 2-3 Dolphins, the Scott Linehan Bowl down in Miami. And
ESPN wouldn't dare.
gotta find a hook somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Miami's laying 3.5 in this one, down from 4. Again, this is another one where, as I look at this, I still consider Sam Bradford to be a young quarterback at this point in time, largely
he is a young quarterback.
He hasn't been able to really develop as
so
much
biology and father time, I think.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't really been blessed with having too many weapons there, as the team did foolish things like passing over Justin Blackmon this year, my editorial comment aside. But I look at this, Bradford on the road, no Danny Amendola.
That's key.
And this is a thing where, again, my sense in a game like this, teams with the young quarterbacks default to the team at home. I know it got me in trouble last week when I didn't think Miami would win on the road, but I'm going to go with the same principle this week. Miami laying the 3.5 to the Rams, I think they cover it.
Well, we agree on one.
Okay.
I would like to take a bit of a rewind, Rick Morris, to when we were doing our previews for the 8 respective divisions in this league. Look, I've been wrong on a few things. I was wrong on Kansas City. Looking like I'm going to be wrong on Buffalo.
Okay.
Definitely wrong in Carolina.
I was wrong on Tennessee.
Yeah. I think this show's had a good pulse on Miami, though. Remember what I brought up in the AFC East? I made a comparison to the Dolphins this year and the Bengals last year.
Yeah.
Where the public sentiment was so low on the Bengals. Remember, people forget about this,
I think.
People were picking the Bengals to be the worst team in the league.
I was.
Before the year last year.
Yeah.
Got rid of Carson Palmer, no T.O., no Ochocinco. I guaranteed that they would win more than five games last year. They wound up going 9-7, beating nine non-playoff teams, lost all seven playoff teams, eight if you include the actual playoff loss.
Right.
But they got to the playoffs nonetheless. Now, I didn't think the Dolphins' ceiling was that high. But I did say that they would exceed people's expectations. And this is not a bad team. The other thing we need to look at is St. Louis off the outright win on Thursday against Arizona, which I called. The Rams are better than most. Both of these teams are better than most people think, I'd like to point that out. Which there's a lot of games where teams are not as good as both people
largely because they're defenses.
Yes. But we've seen teams coming off the Thursday win and the long layoff adversely affecting them. I think we went through that last week.
The half a bye week.
Yes. Dallas came out and lost to Seattle in week two. Green Bay lost that famous game, that now infamous game, to Seattle in week three.
Yeah.
I'm missing it. The Giants came out and lost the Eagles on a Sunday night after beating Carolina on a Thursday night. Now, the Ravens came out, and they were the first team to come and win their next one, but they did not cover, only beating Kansas City 9-6.
Right.
So I think the long layoff kind of hurts St. Louis. They are off back-to-back home victories in the division, so I think a letdown's in order. Miami evens their record up at 3-3. I don't like laying points with them, though, is the problem. Mm-hmm. I definitely like them to win straight up. I don't like them laying 3.5, but
okay.
I'm taking Miami nonetheless.
Okay. Yeah,
if this one was closer to a pick 'em, I definitely highly recommend Miami. But
yeah.
I think just a small check to them.
Well, it's those pesky home field points that are built into the number here.
Yeah, Miami might be the second best team in the AFC East.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, taller than Mickey Rooney Club, but yeah. I mean that's they might be. This next one here could be very sneaky. 3-2 New England at 3-2 Seattle. And surprisingly for a game of this magnitude, it's the Iron Eagle Dan Fouts combo on CBS.
Dear God, who was the flight to see him? I know that Seattle is the NFL's outpost, but jeez.
Patriots are laying 4 down from 4.5 earlier in the week. This is one where, again, Seattle has pretty much screwed me at every step of the way this year.
What have I told you about Seattle as a home
dog?
Come on, road favorite, Ricky.
I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to make this a big I will not have a big three pick the rest of the year on or against Seattle. Pete Carroll has screwed me every time I've
And yet you picked them to win the NFC West. I'm surprised you're not more supportive of Coach him up, Pete.
Well, I only care about my number, and he's hurting it thus far this season. I'm picking New England. Road favorite Ricky is going to do it again.
God, what are you thinking?
Patriots with a 4, but certainly not a big three play for me. Certainly not.
I have a big three play in this game, but it's not on a side. I promise to go exotic on you. Here's my big three here.
All right.
We've got Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Go with the over, New England and Seattle. What kind of desperation is this to squeeze a big three out of the card? Seattle's gone under in all five games, but New England, they score at least 27 points.
What's the total right now?
45.
Okay.
Over 45.
Okay.
This is one instance where I'm a little leery of Seattle as a home dog. The cat's kind of out of the bag there.
Yep.
They're such a good – I can't bet against them because, I used to be warrior. I used to always play against Seattle as a short home dog.
Mm-hmm.
It makes screw you. They always win. But the Patriots are starting to look really good, and I can't see them losing. So I say they win a high-scoring affair. I don't know if they'll cover, but the Patriots will win a high-scoring affair here.
Okay, so you don't really have a recommendation for a side then?
No recommendation for a side. Over 45, changing
so,
that.
All right, so just
But I'm going to get real dirty with these 4 o'clock games. Just say no. I do not like this 4 o'clock slate at all. I think these are tough.
Well, next one.
Especially because there's no line in one of the games.
Well, and that's the next one up. It's hard to find a line on this one. You said that from what you could find, Washington is laying 1 at home to Minnesota.
1.5 right now. These are online. The only online book that has this game is Bet Online. They've got Washington up at -1.5 about an hour before we went on the air here. They did say RG3 has been cleared to play for
all
the
right.
Redskins, which obviously for the public is going to make a big deal. But
yeah. So
I
that's
got it's still though. This is a tough game to call. RG3 or no RG3, it's a tough game to call.
I'm going
to
say Minnesota on the road here because I think they can exploit that or that Washington defense. I mean, I can't believe I'd be saying this at the beginning of the season, but the way Christian Ponder's playing with two numbers for you, 69% completion percentage, Washington, 328.6 yards per game given up through the air. That's a bad combo any way you slice it.
I'm passing.
Okay.
I will not offer anything here. I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of with you on Minnesota. Minnesota, by the way, I watched them last week against Tennessee. This could be this year's San Francisco.
Okay.
Where it's just like they get off the hot start. You're like, okay, they'll fall. And they just, they're going to be like 6-2 through their first eight games.
This just in. You and I owe Leslie Frazier a big apology for what we said about them.
I'm going to be white. I said they'd win two or three games.
Yeah.
They're going to wind up with like 7 or 8. I looked at it. Now, yeah. They do play Green Bay and Chicago 4 of their final 6 games.
Yeah.
So they're going to fall. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't be this year, San Francisco. But here's the thing about Washington. They've lost like 8 straight home games.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they just due to win a home game? I think Minnesota's the better team, but Washington's due to win a home game. And I just don't with betting largely off, I'm not putting a pickup on this game.
Okay.
That's why. I mean,
right.
I know that there is that 1.5 available, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, just because he's cleared to play doesn't mean he will.
Well,
I'd like to see Washington lose if Cousins plays just to make Shanahan look like an idiot. But
side note, too. I do not want, after what we've seen this year, next off season to be full of all the tongue-clicking of the last off season about player safety and, oh, my God, these guys are vegetables now. Yeah, here we go. Because if Robert Griffin's going to play this week, first of all, he doesn't have the balls to stand up for himself and say, I had a concussion last week. This whole thing, a mild concussion?
Well,
excuse me,
you're
okay to go in there and take hits to the head the next week after you had a mild concussion the week before? I called the Browns on Twitter when they did it with Billy Winn earlier this season.
Ooh.
It is a joke. They're defensive tackle. They put him in the week after a concussion because they were desperate. And the Browns,
Washington's
right now,
desperate.
The Browns learned nothing from what happened to Colt McCoy last year. It is a joke what the Browns did. Their quote-unquote concussion concern is a joke. And if the Redskins let Robert Griffin play, then I don't ever want to hear anything from them ever again on player safety.
Well, I don't know if
you cannot play the week after a concussion, period. Well, I don't want to hear mild concussion.
Well, here's the thing, a couple things. One,
yeah.
Washington. Is it the teams that are that concerned about player safety, or is it our benevolent dictator Roger Goodell? Without Goodell pushing, these teams wouldn't care if these guys lost a limb and they'd throw them out there. I think.
In this case, I don't really know what Goodell's got to do with it. The Redskins.
Oh, the impetus of player safety comes directly from Goodell.
I mean, he should do more. But you're saying he shouldn't let Griffin play? I'm saying he's not egging on the Redskins to let Griffin play.
I'm just saying I don't think he's playing a role in this situation. I wish he was playing a more positive role for player safety, but I don't think he's egging on the Redskins to let Griffin play.
Oh no, he's not. Yeah. I'm saying if you left it up to him, he probably wouldn't let him play. I bet.
Well, then he should say something.
Okay,
this,
but
it's,
here's
it's
the
thing. Joke out of it.
Washington, they seem shady too because
they are.
I think this is on Washington, not the NFL.
Yeah, I
because
think so too.
If you recall, there's a rule, and I didn't know this until last week until this injury went down, where you have to announce a concussion.
Yeah.
And they did something bizarre where they said he had the wind knocked out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this? And
I
then
did not.
It was only afterwards where Shanahan's like, yeah, he has a concussion.
Yeah.
And they didn't follow I think there's a fine that's going to be involved for Wash, from what I heard.
There should be.
From, you know, my good friends Adam Schefter and Mort, I believe they reported that. And I just don't know. As far as going back, bringing it full circle, look, to me, I mean, I hear you. I mean, that's a Pandora's box if you want Roger Goodell overruling teams. I mean, there is a protocol. I mean, look, I'm not there. I'm not Robert. I don't have Robert Griffin's head on my shoulders right now. I don't know how I've never had a concussion.
I'd like to imagine you with dreads. That'd be pretty funny.
Yes. Well, I don't know how he is. But to your point, I mean, again, I was going to say to bring it full circle, I just can't make an opinion on this team with the uncertain nature of Griffin. But I'm not Robert Griffin. I don't know how he feels, but I think there is a protocol in place for these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Redskins are trying to get around that, then shame on them.
Yeah.
But, look, Griffin wants to play. The Redskins obviously want him to play. I mean, if you think Roger Goodell should step in and say, I think you're cheating in the system, that's a Pandora's box if you give the commission.
Well,
especially a guy like you, a man who always is in favor of states' rights, looking for a little bit of an extension of the federal power structure, it seems to me, Rick Morris.
It's a private business, for one thing.
Oh, boy.
But also,
here we go.
Also, again, Robert Griffin, just, like, if he plays, then, like, no spaghetti dinners for the guy when he's 60 years old and he's beat up in the head, doesn't know who he is, can't remember his last name, and is penniless, okay? You sign your life away if you play this week, period.
Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
Except the ramifications.
I think if you're referring to some of these older players that have come back, I think that there wasn't as...
I don't fault them because they played in an unenlightened time.
Yes, that's what
we play in an allegedly enlightened time.
I think you're not going to see, and this is why Goodell's doing what he's doing. So this is what people who, you know, the put a skirt on him kind of guys, you know, those tools.
Those a-holes.
Yeah,
those
tools. What they don't understand is what Roger Goodell's doing is ensuring that there's not another generation of those lawsuits. And I don't think you're, I mean, look, there's always, I know people like you and your boy. You know, some of these Reagan disciples, okay, always think there's going to be a lawsuit everywhere against private. But will there be some? Yeah, but I don't see there being another generation, to your point,
right,
that's got a valid class action suit against the NFL, considering, especially someone like Robert Griffin who's come into the league after Goodell became commissioner.
Right.
He knows what he's getting him into. If he wants to play and he knows the rules of the game,
well,
let him.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's got no business playing, so except...
Redskins want him to play, and that's the point of this whole conversation.
They do, and it's on them. The Redskins being one of the teams of the 80s. The other two are playing at the Stick on Sunday. How's that for a segue?
Yeah,
the 3-2 Giants at the 4-1 49ers. The temporary Fox A team of Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and the delicioso Pam Oliver calling this game. Tom Brenneman, by the way, I was listening to the Reds game a little bit earlier today, the Reds playoff game. I thought it was jarring and distracting because out of nowhere in the middle of the Reds game, Tom Brenneman said something about if you spend 5 minutes with Tim Tebow, your life will be better for it.
Yes.
I don't know why he did that, Kyle. It seemed apropos of nothing. It seemed a little forced under the circumstances.
Wait, he actually mocked himself?
No.
I was going to say, that's awesome if he did that. You had me going because as soon as you start talking about Tom Brenneman, when you mention Tom Brenneman, I think of two things.
Yeah.
OU.
Yeah.
And yes, if you spend 5 or 10 minutes with Tim, what would – in defense of Tom Brenneman, I don't – look, no matter what you're announcing these days, you don't have the autonomy that I think most of the public thinks. I have to think someone was in his headset with that.
Well, could have been. By the way, 6-0 Bobcats. Let's take our hats off to them. It is a disgrace that they are not in the top 25.
I'm going to completely disagree. You're out of line.
They are blocked by that fat-ass coach Bobby Bacala and his overrated Michigan Wolverines. That is a disgrace that our alma mater is being blocked by them, Kyle Ross.
If Michigan played Ohio, Michigan would win by 2 touchdowns.
I don't think so.
Yes,
they have no answer for Tyler Tettleton.
Let me tell you something about Ohio U.
What?
They've barely beaten UMass and Buffalo the last 2 weeks.
Well,
okay.
We play down to the level
of
our competition.
Okay, let's be objective here, okay? That's why I'm so sick of holding the top guys to a higher standard and the little guys go these passes. Look, I went to OU. It's great. OU, I've said it before. People get mad at me. They're like, oh, do you think if we run the table, we can get into a BCS bowl game? No, you're not going to get high. Their schedule's awful.
We can, maybe.
It will not happen.
We're halfway there.
I'm going to do something right now that is the opposite of what any other person in this situation would do.
What?
OU will not go. I am guaranteeing will not go to a BCS bowl game. They're not even
the alma mater, Kyle.
They're not even the best non-BCS team.
Who would that be?
Sonny Dykes in Louisiana Tech.
Oh, okay.
Who is consequently ranked, who I said last week, people were like, who? You know, all these OU people, who? They're number 23 in the country, by the way. Thank you. Well, I had a Boise State, too, once. Here's the thing. If OU wins again this week, which they should because they're playing Akron, okay, who is the worst, who is right down. I mean, OU's schedule is very easy.
Mm-hmm.
They will probably climb in. Someone will lose because Texas A&M plays Louisiana Tech 22-23.
We're this close. We're this close.
Yeah,
we're going to be in with one more win. There's
I
no
think
question.
So, too.
There's no question. Now, in this Giants 49ers game,
How did we get on to Ohio
nice,
U?
Nice
yeah, I was going to say,
yeah,
you
Tom
also.
Brenneman, yeah.
I was going to say, I know you mentioned this game.
Tom Brenneman.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
This is a line where 49ers are laying 6 down from 6.5. They are coming off of 2 weeks that are unbelievable. 34-0, 45-3 beatdowns on the AFC East. Got an NFC East team coming in, a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. This is one where I regard it as a very, very legitimate toss-up as to who wins the game. I think it's going to be close. I cannot condone the 6.5-point line to the Giants. Giants cover and, quite frankly, maybe win, Kyle Ross.
Pass.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do our – what is this? This is my third pass on the side, although I did recommend highly a total on New England-Seattle. I told you I didn't like this 4 o'clock card, but I'm passing on 2 games this week, Vikings, Redskins, and Giants, Niners. I just think this is a solid number. I do view the Niners as substantially better than the Giants. I do. I think the – I mean, look, Jim Harbaugh is just flat out the best coach in this league. He's better than Bill Belichick right now. He just is. But the Smith injury, who would ever thought this? I mean, injury to Alex Smith would have me questioning the Niners. He is probable. It's just that the Giants, I'll tell you what here. We talk about how Vegas views these teams compared to, you know, just a standard power ranking from the public. Niners are rated number 2 in the league in the power rank behind only New England.
Okay.
The Giants are 5th.
Wow.
So these teams are Vegas views them pretty high of both. I would probably be inclined to go with the Giants, too, if you forced me to. But it is that big revenge game, too. Let's not forget about that angle. It's a big revenge game from last year's NFC Championship game. A game that, quite frankly, the Niners thought they should have won had not been for the botched punts.
Right.
From that kid, Kyle Williams was his name.
Yeah.
And we've already seen one conference title game rematch this year where the revenger won, that being Baltimore, but they did not cover the spread. I think this could be a similar situation there where Niners win but don't cover.
Okay.
Nothing there. No checking in that game.
All right, so you're not making a play on that.
That's
one.
That's passing. Gutless.
The Sunday night game, this was my preseason Super Bowl pick. And me being the stubborn guy I am, I'm still not necessarily going to back off of it. But the 2-3 Packers, it's getting late kind of early, as Yogi Berra might say. They're at the 5-0 Texans, who are having their first Sunday night game in team history at Reliance Stadium. The biggest thing in the history of Reliance Stadium next to the time that Janet Jackson flashed her nipple. But this should be a very, very worthwhile game here. Very high scoring potentially, although the Packers are going to be hobbled by their running game. Cedric Benson now going on IR, so that's going to be not that he's any great shakes necessarily, but
they don't run the ball when he's not. I mean, they just gave up on running the ball. With a lead, they gave up on running the ball.
It's inexplicable. I was talking to our Kyle or our Nate Noy off air today about this.
So you didn't talk to me off air.
it was that how have they not in the last couple of years, even in the second, third, or fourth round, drafted a running back?
I don't know.
Something's
wrong with this team, Ricky. I'm going to be honest with you.
They are, but you know what? They're getting 3.5. Desperation, season on the line, get well opportunity for them. Green Bay goes in, I think covers the number, and maybe, quite frankly, shocks the world and kicks off that Super Bowl run after all. You heard it here first.
How many times have I picked a favorite this week? Let me take a look here.
More than usual, I think.
Really? I don't think I have, to be honest with you. Let's see. Titans, Steelers, dog. Bengals, Browns, dog.
Well,
Chiefs, Bucks, dog. Falcons were a favorite I took.
Okay.
I took the Dolphins. That's 2. Maybe. So I've only taken 2 favorites so far.
Okay.
Make it 3.
All right.
Most people are going to look at this game and say, oh, there's no way Green Bay is going to go to 2-4. I'm going to agree and disagree with you at the same time. They are fine long term, although right now something's wrong.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable that they lost that game last week.
Right.
Houston is working on a short week, and most people say, they only beat the Jets. I told you the Jets, I told you, hold your nose and take the Jets on Monday.
You were right.
It's too many points to be laying on the road. But look, it's a big game for Houston. I just think Houston's better than Green Bay. I just think they're just a straight-up better team than Green Bay. Green Bay will fall to 2-4.
Okay.
They will not cover this game, but they will be fine. I still think they'll finish 10-6. I don't have them winning the division, though.
Okay.
I think Chicago's going to win this division.
Well, yeah, well, and you picked Houston at the beginning of the year
to beat Chicago in the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl, I picked Houston to be in the Super Bowl to obviously represent the AFC. That takes us to our last game here before we get to my big three. Monday night affair, the 2-3 Broncos at the 3-2 Chargers. This is a line where San Diego was laying 3 earlier in the week. It's down to 1, but this is an odd one. As I understand it, that line went up even before the Sunday night game was done, and that a lot of the money that came in might have been a reaction to how San Diego looked on Sunday night. So I don't know if I necessarily trust, you know, that line moving as being substantial.
Yeah, this line obviously, yeah, because the lines originally come out right around the time the Sunday night game kicks off.
Yeah.
But this one obviously was still unavailable until kind of overnight Monday,
yeah,
because the Chargers were playing Sunday night.
Yeah, and there might have been a little bit of a reaction to how San Diego looked on Sunday night. That wasn't a game I expected them to win anyways.
The Saints were my top pick last
year. We both were going the other way on that one here. So I'm not reading anything into that. This is a big one for both teams here, and I think between the two teams that are going to be looking to win the AFC West, my preseason pick was the Chargers. See no reason to back off of it here. Chargers laying the 1. I like them obviously straight up and with the 1.
Wow, we don't agree a lot at all. I'm going Denver. I think they're
okay.
We talked about this before we went on the air, and I think now is the perfect time to bring it up. I think we're going to see the lowest amount of turnover from year to year, mm-hmm, among playoff teams since the 1990 realignment and format, when they went to the, you know, the two byes, then the 6 teams per conference.
Mostly because of the AFC.
Yeah, I think about half the NFC teams are going to be new. Chicago's going to get in there. They weren't last year. I still kind of lean to Philly to win the East, believe it or not. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
And I can see a wild card coming out of the West in addition to the Niners winning that division.
Okay.
But in the AFC, it is tough to make a case for any of the teams that didn't make it last year to make it this year. Now, San Diego, interestingly, I think can still win this division, but Denver really needs to win. I don't think Denver's as bad as their 2-3 record shows. I know that Manning at times has certainly not looked like the old Peyton Manning.
He's looked like an old Peyton Manning.
Yeah. They've played a really hard schedule, though. San Diego has not. San Diego's 3 wins have come against teams that are 4-15 combined. They got killed by Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I know Denver didn't have a fun time playing Atlanta either, but at least they fought to make a comeback, something you can't say for San Diego. Give me the Broncos to steal one on Monday night.
Okay.
It's a prime time situation. This, to me, you know what's going to happen here? San Diego will have the lead, and Norv Turner will do something stupid.
Well, what's hilarious to me, of the 3 favorites that you took thus far, in 2 of the instances, I took the dogs. Me, who doesn't take too many
dogs.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah,
that is kind of funny. A little roll reversal on those.
Yeah, I knew that we – yeah, what were the – yeah, you took Green Bay. You took the only favorite that you and I agreed on was Miami.
Yeah, thus far, anyway.
Who would ever thought that we'd agree on Miami as a favorite 5 weeks ago?
What a weird season this is proving to be in some respects here. All right, my big 3 for the week, as I say, 7-7-1 for the season. I've kind of taken it in the arse the last 2 weeks or so on this. We'll see if I can get it turned around here. 2-2 Colts at the 2-3 Jets. The hot mess New York Jets laying 3.5. It's been pretty much a solid number.
This is the only one. This is the only one of the of your big 3 that I might agree with you on, I think.
Okay. This is one where, and again, in my big 3, for whatever reason, and just because maybe I am Sam Square or whatever, I kind of disproportionately tend to go favorites on these here.
I've noticed that.
Kind of sticks out when I don't. This is a don't. Because, again, Indianapolis still, I mean, we saw in the second half
how powerful
it was playing for Chuck, their coach under the circumstances here. Coach Chuck was, they made him proud. They got Chuck Pagano the game ball.
That was cool. By the way, because I know we were on this bandwagon. We were the first to come out and say, didn't last week prove that Andrew Luck is better than Robert Griffin III?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's, again, I can't believe that's it was very much of a question, but the media likes to hype things kind of unfairly here. Yeah, Andrew Luck you know, is pretty much the test tube quarterback. He was born to play in this league, come out playing at a high level, much like the guy he took over for, Peyton Manning.
Of course, they said the same thing about Todd Marinovich, and, well, and he was a test tube quarterback of a different kind, I believe.
Yeah.
He was a test needle quarterback, I believe.
I think he pretty much was.
And he wasn't taking the placebo either,
no,
I'll tell you that much.
No, he wasn't. But the Jets at this point, they're just a mess. Everybody wants to blame Sanchez, and I understand that to a degree, but you and I have been saying for a long time how awful his quote-unquote weapons are relative to the perception.
Yeah, and it's funny that people think that it took a Santonio Holmes injury to really expose how bad
right.
the Jets – Santonio Holmes would not start on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that let him
go. Yeah, Holmes is overrated. Sean Green, 2.9 yards per game, and yet I'm gonna say this, and I'll say this when I do the fantasy thing a little later on. I expect him to have a good week because the Colts have been kind of soft against the run, and I see them trying to lean on Sean Green to try to take the heat off of Sanchez. And he poured in a storm, I guess you'd say. But again, I think the Colts are going to cover the 3.5, may very well win outright. These are ships passing in the night as I see it right now. The Colts and the Jets.
The Jets are a zigzag team for me all year. They did cover last week, didn't win, and believe it or not, I'm probably going to disagree with you on all big three. I'm going Jets here.
Wow.
The Colts off a very emotional straight-up dog win at home. I don't see them pulling the trick 2 weeks in a row. Look, you and I both said we thought the Colts could get the 6-10, but that would be largely based on their home schedule. Let me bring up Indianapolis' schedule here because they're going to get the – they've got a lot of easy home games, but by the way – look, I've defended Mark Sanchez probably about as much as any human being. It did seem – whatever they're doing with him – that Tony Sparano stinks.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever he's doing is dumb. Pick Tebow or pick Sanchez. Don't do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you're burning all your timeouts.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll be honest. Look, I defended Tim Tebow more than anyone, too. I defended both I honestly think they should just go to him and get it over with because – Sanchez isn't getting any help. He appears snake-bitten. Those interceptions weren't really his fault last week. I just think they need to go to Tebow. And hold on, let me bring up the Colts' schedule because they have a lot of winnable home games. I just think off the emotional win last week, they are going – let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Look, they'll finish 6-10 still. I mean, their home games, they've got Cleveland, the Browns, next week at home. They have Miami at home in a couple weeks. That's winnable. Buffalo at home, winnable. Tennessee at home, winnable. And the last week of the year, they play Houston at home. Who knows? The Texans could be in a position where they don't care about that game. They throw it away. So the Colts are a pretty shoddy road team. I just don't see them getting it. The Jets need this game pretty bad. They had all the chips were against them.
Total sandwich game for the Jets Monday nighter and Belichick next week.
Yeah, I know.
This is the donut hole, Kyle.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you what, New England's got bigger concerns.
Is there any more food analogies I can bring into that?
New England's got a lot bigger concerns right now than Bill Belichick and how they measure up to him because the answer's not very good.
Yeah.
They need a win. To me, I think it has the opposite of it. They're going to look at New England and say, oh, God, this isn't the blowhard Rex Ryan of years past.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, well, we got to get ready for New England because we can beat the Jets have no chance to beat New England.
Right.
They're going to lose that game about 58-2, all right? They need to win this game at home. I like the Jets to cover.
Okay. All right.
We are not going to agree
yet again,
on the other two.
Yet again, I take a dog, you take a favorite. The next two may be a little bit closer to form in terms of what we expect here. The next one up, Arizona laying 5 to Buffalo. It was 4.5 earlier in the week, so that shows you which way the money's moving on this one. Again, you just talk about massive disarray. The Buffalo Bills playing one of the worst games in team history, getting thumped 45-3 last week. Really, if you go back to that 52-28 loss to New England the week before, probably the worst six quarters.
Yeah, I was gonna say because keep
in mind
they were winning that game at halftime against New England.
That was like the Giants Browns game from last week.
Yeah,
yeah. And then it just so blatantly went the other way.
So you like Arizona here?
I'm liking Arizona to cover. Buffalo is just in. I mean, I know Arizona screwed me on my my pick last week, but again, Buffalo just and again, and you're the one that kind of hipped me to this traveling cross country and whatnot. Buffalo is in the worst possible place to be trying to make a trip like this to face what is still a relatively hot team in Arizona. and a team with a defense that's going to match up well to them. They're going to have to go back to Beanie Wells at running back with Ryan Williams now being out. That's been something that they've been loath to do for reasons I can't quite comprehend, because it's not like Ryan Williams has set the world on fire. But the Cardinals, again, I think they're going to have a good opportunity to run the football on Buffalo the way that it's going. I think they're going to have a balanced attack. I actually look ahead to fantasy. I actually like Kevin Cobb this week. That's how little I think of the Bills. I think Arizona could roll.
The Bills?
Yeah.
They have not looked good.
No.
But I'm going to look at – let's take a look at the schedule for these two teams. Talk about ships passing in the night in the last game.
Okay.
It's not changed. I had very low regard for Arizona before the year, and I thought Buffalo was going to be a playoff team in the interest of full disclosure. Their schedules down the stretch – suggest that there will be regression to the mean on both sides.
Buffalo's intermediate schedule is brutal. Tennessee next week, and then after the bye, Houston, New England, Miami.
Okay, well, Miami's is a winnable game, certainly, but Houston, New England's bad. They need this game, really, with the Houston and New England on deck. They should win at least this week or Tennessee next week. But that'll only get them to three. If they can be 4-5, they can win the next two. They'll probably lose to Houston, New England, and that'll put them at 4-5. They'll be in okay shape to still make the play. They're 4-5. Look out. They could go on that run everyone thinks they might, because their second half – I said before the year, I said this, that their second half of their schedule is very easy. I'm going to take the points with Buffalo. I know it's looked horrible in the last six quarters. I just don't like laying points with Arizona. More than a field. I mean, we've seen it last week as a road favorite.
You and I were right 2 weeks ago to go against them with Miami.
They were overvalued as a road favorite. I just don't think – that they looked at that one really good game against Philly, and I know they beat New England, but it was close, and the kicker missed a field goal he probably should have made. I'm not sold on Arizona. I think Minnesota's better than Arizona.
Interesting. Okay.
Minnesota's definitely a better team than Arizona.
So there's another one that we disagree on, and we may very well on this last one also here. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6. Baltimore is at home laying 3.5 to Dallas, had been 4 earlier in the week. You've got a Dallas team coming in that's really up and down, and this has been a word I've used a number of times this week, disarray. Part of it is being in the fishbowl of Dallas, and actually good friend Nate Noy has been spending a lot of time in the Metroplex.
I was there last week myself.
As you were, yes, and again, everybody in that entire town is gripping. And
there were people literally, they say in sports talk, you got to talk the fans off the ledge. I think there literally were fans on the ledge when they called in.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning. I mean, literally, they were like, man, I just don't know what to do anymore. I was like, oh, God, will somebody please get this band some counseling?
Well, going into Baltimore is not a cure for what ails you. I know they're coming off.
Okay. I know where you're going.
Yeah, I'm looking at this again. Coming off a bye, but again, going into Baltimore is not the cure for what ails. I'm not going to say Baltimore is going to beat them by 9 touchdowns, but they can cover the 3.5. My 1,000-star gold play to the lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6 is the Baltimore Ravens laying 3.5 to the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't like this game at all. A lot of things say the Cowboys should do well here.
Right.
They're an underdog, which they rarely are. Now, they're horrible as a favorite. They're 4-17 against the number under their last 21 when laying points.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not bad as a dog under Garrett. I think they've covered like all 6 times they've been a dog under Garrett.
Okay.
Baltimore, though, has won 31 of 36 home games under John Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore is the better team.
They are.
Boy, this is a tough one for me. Dallas off the bye. You talk about a team who's got a tough upcoming schedule. Everyone's talking in Dallas about these next 5 games. Look them up. Dallas's next 5 games.
Well, Carolina should be able to take that one. But then Giants, Atlanta, Philly. I assume you're not talking about Cleveland.
Yeah. But no, including this game. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, okay. What are they going to go, 2-3 at best during that stretch? Giants, that's a revenge game for the Super Bowl champs. Baltimore, to be honest with you, they had that awesome game in that second half. That it was really just an awesome third quarter in week one against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they haven't been that great, to be honest with you. I mean, some closer game wins than you'd expect. Didn't cover against Cleveland, didn't cover against Kansas City. slight lean to the how about them Cowboys?
Oh, my God. I mean, a Dallas team that, again, you know.
I mean, is Tony Romo going to throw 800 interceptions every game?
At long last, America has finally come around to what I've been saying for years, that the Cowboys are fatally flawed because they are erratic, because Tony Romo makes bad mistakes, because Rob Ryan is an incredibly overrated defensive coordinator here. I mean, you know, you would have a harder time now finding somebody who doesn't regard Breakfast in America as a pinnacle of musical achievement than you would to find somebody that fails to recognize that the Cowboys are overrated, Kyle.
They are. But
by the way, when you were in Texas last week, did you ever have kippers for breakfast?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you, I did visit the JFK Museum, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I gave them your name as the person who was behind it, by the way. Some of your friends, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'll say this about Dallas?
Yeah.
At least I'll give them this. It's funny listening to, like, all the whining on their sports talk radio compared to locally here with the Browns. Like, the Browns are just hideous, all right?
The Browns.
Dallas, since 1997, okay, which is the first year after their last Super Bowl win, 122 and 122 straight up exactly.
Wow.
They're the very – so when people say Dallas stinks, here's the thing. I kind of watch the needle. It's –
they're,
you know,
horribly overrated.
They are overrated.
They stink,
but
relative
still,
to what everybody says they are.
But they're still in, I think, slightly above average team.
Yeah, but the way the media plays it, your beloved ESPN
big,
and everyone else.
Oh, here we go.
You would think Dallas won 10 or 11 games every year. That's why people say they stink. They stink relative to expectations. They're nowhere near as good as the media plays them up to be.
I think they're just talked about. I don't think the media says they're good. I don't think the media – here's the thing. I always say this about the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't think the media ever says the Cowboys are good. I think they just talk about them a lot. There's a difference. There's a difference between overrated and over-talked about.
A lot of people in the cognoscenti picking them for a Super Bowl or a near Super Bowl
run
every year.
Who picked that? Besides Skip Bayless.
Well, ESPN honks. If you go down their list of preseason projections, not necessarily this year, but I remember last year. Kyle,
well,
if you look at the 2011 picks.
I was on it, too.
Well,
I thought the Cowboys.
Shame on you.
Oh, this team has talent. I don't like the coach. I don't like the owner. Love their stadium, by the way.
Yeah?
Love their stadium. Nice facility.
Well, J.R. Ewing's their biggest fan, so that says something.
Look, I'm not, like, in love with them this week against the Ravens. Like I said, the Ravens, they are a dominant home team. I just think that Dallas, I mean, it could get real ugly if they lose. They have some talent. Dez Bryant. Now, you talk about someone who does legitimately stink. Dez Bryant stinks.
He does.
He'll probably still have a job for 10 years because he's tall and can run fast.
Well, he probably will, and, he may have to bounce around from team to team to do so, but there it is. So, again, you predicted it, Kyle, and you were right. Very little agreement between us this week. Even when I would take the rare dog, you were on the
favorite. Yeah, I was on those were the favorites. This is an ugly one. I don't think I'm going to do very well this week.
This is an ugly slate. Yeah, we got to see how it plays
Don't bet
out.
Big on any of my three. Actually, you know what? No. Actually, I like my three, but don't listen to anything else I said.
You're 13-7-1 for the
year. Really,
yeah.
I really like the three. Tennessee plus the points, Browns plus the points over New England-Seattle. Other than that, I don't like a lot on this card at all.
And my big three, which are the only ones I'll even come close to vouching for, are Indianapolis, Arizona, and Baltimore. Baltimore being the key play for me here, so we'll see how these play out. Thanks very much, Kyle.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.